Written on the board, spectacular about face. Thankful this morning that Jesus is alive. Not only is He alive, but He's present. He knows all about each one of us, and He offers an invitation of life to each of us. It's not just a story. It's just not something to talk about on Easter morning, but it is something that the Lord wants us to experience in life each and every day. I am very thankful this morning for this day and thankful for what it represents and that the power of God is still working and reaching whosoever will. I've thought about this service, as you might imagine, quite a bit. This is a day that a lot of people come to church. It's a day that we all kind of look forward to. It's a special day as we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It can feel like a little bit more of a day, a service, maybe family gets together afterwards, maybe a little more formality to it. And this is my challenge this morning. It is up to us, it's up to you, and it's up to me, whether this day is just going to be a special service, a formal day, a time for family to get together, or if we will allow it to be a day that reaches us on a very personal level in our hearts, because that is what the Lord came to do for us. He came to reach us and give us life. It's our choice. We have spent some time over the last couple of weeks on the subject of failure. And 2 weeks ago, the subject was on spectacular failure. Last week, the subject was on facing failure. But this morning is a new day. A new day has dawned, and the Lord has a different type of subject matter, spectacular subject matter, that I believe that He would like us to consider. Do you remember what the word spectacular means? Spectacular means dramatic, can be eye-catching. The word spectacular can reflect something that is large scale. Sometimes things that are spectacular can be life-changing and have striking effects. So that's what this word means, spectacular, striking effect, large scale, life-changing. Also written on the board, about face. When I was in the first or second grade, I can't remember which, but I know it wasn't the third grade, first or second grade. I don't know what it is when your children, and I guess maybe it's not just children, maybe it's adults too. Sometimes children like to be the first in line. And we would have to line up. So the teacher would be in the classroom and she'd say, all right, line up, we're going to go to lunch. And then all the children would come. And maybe actually she initiated some of this feeling because she wanted people to respond when she said it's time to line up. So the children would come forward in the classroom, they'd line up, and it seemed like whoever was first in the line, so the door was right here, the teacher would stand right here, and then there would be usually two lines behind her. And the people that were in the front of the line, they felt pretty special. You know, the people that were second in line felt pretty special too. And, you know, third in line, you're still kind of towards the front. But then there were the people that somehow or another were in the back of the line. And then at recess time, you'd hear the whistle blow. And then everyone would come running and you get in the line and it seemed like whoever was standing in the front of the line, well, that's a pretty good spot to be. I mean, you were front and center. But one day, the teacher blew her whistle. Her name was Mrs. McMullen. She was on the playground. She blew her whistle. All the children ran. We got in line. I don't remember where I was. I wasn't in the first of the line. I wasn't at the end of the line. I don't remember exactly where I was. But we all lined up. And all of a sudden, she issued with authority a command of two words. She said, "About face." Well, they had taught us what those words meant, but never that I remember was used out on the playground in that context. And all of a sudden, everybody had to turn 180 degrees. That's what about face means. About face means that you change directions 180 degrees. Can also mean a change of view, change of perspective. Your point of view changes 180 degrees. But in this case, it was change direction. So all the children had to turn around 180 degrees, and she stepped from her place and she walked to the other end and she stood there. And the people that were the last in line were now the first. Nothing that they had done to deserve it. They weren't the fastest. They might have been the slowest. They hadn't done anything on their own to be first in line, which at that time, for whatever reason, was viewed as the place to be. But with two words from somebody with some authority, about face, changed the perspective of every child that was in that line, especially those that felt like that they were last in line. You ever feel like you're last in line in life? You ever feel like you're the one that's missing out? You ever feel like it's always other people that have the blessings in life? I'd like to read about two words this morning. Two words plus a third very personal word, which was a name. But two words that Jesus spoke with authority and power that had a whole lot more to do than changing our place in line at recess. I'd like to begin by recalling a story in the 11th chapter of John, the story of Lazarus. And we know the story. Most of us here know that story pretty well, so I'll probably paraphrase some of it. So you know the story. Lazarus became sick and wasn't doing well, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus were very good friends with Jesus. They considered themselves friends, and they loved Him, and Jesus loved them. And verse 5 here says that, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." They were important to them. But you remember the story, Jesus, for whatever reason, that, and maybe we learned a little bit about that later, but He didn't respond just as quick as they bid Him come. I suspect we have felt that too in life. We pray, we cry out, we believe Him to be our friend, we believe He loves us, and we ask for help in our time of need. The hours pass, and the days pass, and no Jesus, it seems. And that's how they felt, and how disappointing it must have been for them when they realized that Jesus didn't seem to respond with a sense of urgency that they thought that maybe He would respond with. And both Mary and Martha separately told the Lord, different places, they said, if only you had been here, if only you would have come. What they didn't say was, if only you would have come when we asked you to come, my brother wouldn't have died. Verse 32 said, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother would not have died." And we can feel that way often. "Lord, if You would have answered my prayer, things wouldn't be like this in my life." But you know what else we can feel sometimes? Other times in life, we have these strong sense of feelings that if only I was not, if only I were not who I am, it wouldn't be this way. If only I was somebody else, if only I could be somebody better, if only I would have done differently, but I didn't. If only, and we feel all of this sense of responsibility that if I was somebody different than I was, then these things wouldn't be like this in my life. But I am who I am. I failed where I failed. Made mistakes where I made mistakes. And so this is just my life. This is who I am. This is how I was made. And so I'm just going to have to live with it. But this morning, the great hope of the gospel. And it's not just an idea this morning. It's not just a feel-good story to believe. But as these songs that have been sung, it is alive with truth and power in it. Because the hope of the gospel brings with it provision and power that is beyond what we can achieve in our own strength. There is a bridge available for us to take us over those places where we would otherwise find ourselves. Where we can experience a spectacular change of direction. Does that mean that the Lord always comes along and changes our circumstances? Does the Lord always come along as long as we come and bow at an altar and change all of our situations in life and take an eraser of life and erase everything in the past that maybe got us into trouble? And does the Lord come along and change all of the propensities that we may have that we don't like? No, He doesn't. Not that He can't. And not that sometimes He does. But He doesn't do that all the time. I think sometimes by design. But He has come to bring life. He has come to change your perspective. He comes to change our point of view. And yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ comes to wholesale change lives for the better. He is in the business of taking lives that, as the poem says, are battered and scarred by sin. Lives that others look upon, and perhaps yourself, and they appear dusty and out of tune and without much hope and without much value. The Lord comes along and He has a way that no one else has. Picking us up and wiping the dust off of our lives and tightening the strings in our life. Tuning us up. And in the hands of the Master plays a melody pure and sweet with your life. Sweet as caroling angels sing. And the Lord is still in the business today, all these many years later, with all of the troubled souls that are out there, with many a man, life out of tune, and battered and scarred by sin, that is so often auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin, a mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and He travels on. He's going and He's almost gone. He's going once He's going twice. And it looks like there is not much hope left for that life anymore. But the Master still comes. And the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. When I was a child, and then when I was a teenager, and then when I was in my young married years, there was a man whose life was touched by the Master's hand that I never forgot. It's actually Brother Ed Wilson's aunt, Brother Clifford Wilson's sister's husband. His name was James Mapes. I believe he would be pleased for me to share his testimony today. I watched him growing up. He lived in Oregon, where I lived. They would come to church, and James Mapes would sit in the pew, and his wife, who had a testimony of salvation, James would come with her, and he would sit in the pew, and if there ever was anyone that was present in body and absent in spirit, whether he was or wasn't, I don't know, but he looked that way. He would come and he would sit in the pew and take his seat, and his head would go down, and he would remain expressionless throughout the entire service, generally speaking. He didn't sing. He didn't talk. He didn't much moo, except if maybe he needed to scratch his ear. Year after year after year. No testimony of salvation. No seemingly spiritual life that he had. And his life was passing. As life marches on for all of us. And as he was getting into the later years of his life, he would still come to church and he would sit, expressionless, no movement, seemingly empty, life dusty and out of tune with Jesus. But one day, during service, I was sitting back there and all of a sudden I saw this movement. And I saw this form begin to rise up out of his pew like somebody coming out of the grave. And I thought, oh, something's wrong with James. I've never seen James move in church. James has got to get to the back of the church. James needs to use the bathroom. James needs to get outside. I wonder what's going on with James. And it was like this was happening in slow motion. Never heard a peep out of James year after year after year after year. But James stood up and he didn't move to the aisle. He stood up, and if I recall correctly, he had his hands on the pew in front of him. And his head came up. And James began to testify of the touch of the Master's hand on his life. Out mowing the grass on a riding lawnmower. Perhaps sitting in that seat as he sat for so many years in the pews on Sunday. If I recall correctly, he wasn't out praying. He wasn't out looking to the Lord for any special help. Just out mowing grass. Time passing by. Going once. Going twice. And he was almost gone. But as he was mowing the grass, his testimony that day was, that he heard a voice call from heaven and speak to his heart in such a way that he couldn't turn it away. And that day he found peace with the Lord. A man whose life was so out of tune turned into a man in his later stages of cancer. He would have these coughing fits, these terrible coughing fits where it would almost take his life, it seemed. And he told me not too long before he died, he had one of those coughing fits and he thought he was going to die, and he got done and he told me, he said, I almost made it. He said, I thought I was going to make it home. He said, but I didn't quite make it. Yes, a resurrected identity, an about face, because of the touch of the Master's hand, after all of those years of separation, after all of those years of having turned away, and no doubt the enemy whispering in his ears that there is no hope for you, there was yet hope because of Jesus Christ. This morning there is yet hope for me and for you wherever you are. The good news of the gospel this morning is that we may be already children of God. Perhaps this morning we do believe that our sins are forgiven, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it may be that we have areas in our lives that we are struggling with that are dark, areas where it seems like shadows block out light that otherwise would be there. And sometimes as children of God, we can feel like that the opportunity for revival and restoration and rebirth, that the opportunity for spectacular change of direction is past. Folks, don't think that the Easter message is only for those that are lost. The Easter message is a message of resurrection. The Easter message is a message of hope. That when we find ourselves in those dark places where we feel like that there are obstacles that block us from reaching light, that the Lord has a power and a grace and an opportunity that He's extending to every one of us, that we may be able to experience light and life. Again, verse 32 said, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if only You had been here, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And we read where Jesus, He saw their sorrow and He saw their grief and He saw those difficult places in their lives, and it moved His heart, and it said that Jesus wept and He said, take me to where He is. This morning the Lord, He wants to be where you are this morning. Wherever you are, the Lord wants to come there. And where He is, the Lord wants you to come there this morning. He said, where have you laid Him? And they said unto Him, Lord, come and see. And it said here that Jesus wept. And they took Him to the place where He lay, and Jesus said, take away the stone. And they took away the stone, and Jesus proceeded to extend one of the greatest, most wonderful exhortations, invitations ever given. And He made it personal. He called out, He said, Lazarus, come forth. And by the power of the Almighty God, Lazarus came forth alive with resurrected life. And this morning we too don't have to stay in a tomb of darkness. We don't have to give in to those places in life that we feel like separates us from abundant life and the life that we read about in the Scriptures. I think too often that we find ourselves in dark places, and yet the Lord has come along and He's moved away the stone already, and yet we become so taken with the darkness that's around us that we fail to follow the path that has already been made available for us. The work is done. And yet sometimes we can sit down in a place of darkness and let it envelop us, and we can become way too comfortable in the most uncomfortable place. The Lord has an invitation for you today and for me. To those that may have peace with God and those that may not have peace with God this morning, the Lord has an invitation for us to come forth. Perhaps you're one that comes to Easter services, and maybe we all come to an Easter service year after year thinking that they don't apply to us anymore. That window of opportunity is past. Easter rolls around. We know what it represents. We come to service, and we're here, and we're present in body. But there's a part of our spirit that is in darkness and away. And we feel like that the message of Easter, the message of the resurrection, is no longer there for us anymore. Folks, sometimes we just need to get up and take action. The Lord is calling us. He's calling us to come forth. That was His invitation to Lazarus. Moving the stone has already been done. Do you remember when the two Marys went to go see Jesus that resurrection morning? And they took their spices and their love and their desire to be reconnected with Jesus, and they began to go to where Jesus was. And on the way, perhaps they remembered the stone, that large obstacle that created a barrier between them and what they wanted to give to Jesus. And one of them said to the other, they said, "But who's going to roll the stone away? How are we going to get to Jesus?" But it didn't cause them to turn around and go back to the house. They went on, and when they got to the place, the reality was that it said that the stone had already been rolled away. Do you know what their part was? Their part was to just do what they knew to do was right. I don't have the power in my life to roll away all the stones that are bigger than I am. I don't have the power to make disappear all of those things that I believe separate me from Jesus Christ. But what I can do is I can take one step at a time. I may not understand how I'm going to get there. I may not understand how it can possibly work. Neither did these women. But the reality was, Jesus saw them coming. He saw the rest of the world out there. And the Lord came out of that tomb. And the veil in the temple was rent when He was on the cross. And His Holy Spirit came out of the place that no one was able to go in and live. And He came out looking for whosoever will. Thank the Lord. I'd like to conclude this morning with Peter's victory, because we spent time on Peter's spectacular failure. Those places in our lives where we feel like we have spectacularly failed, that we may feel like keeps us from ever being able to reach Jesus in peace. Something happened that Peter could not manufacture on his own. When those two Marys got to the tomb, they found a man there in shining raiment. And the man said, "Go and tell the disciples that He is not here, but He is risen." But He had another message. And I find that to be a very personal message that is to you too this morning. If you are here this morning, the Lord has a message for you too. He told them, go tell them he's not here and make sure that you tell Peter too. Make sure that Peter knows that the story does not have to be over. Implicit in that invitation was that there was yet opportunity. And boy, did Peter take them up on that opportunity. The scripture says they ran to the tomb, and even though it says that, I think it said that John maybe got there first, Peter blew right past him, went right inside into the tomb. No time to waste, perhaps looking forward to that opportunity for a spectacular about face. And the scriptures also tell us that after that happened, perhaps with some very real emotional realities of life, Peter was out fishing with the rest of some of the disciples, catching nothing, feeling empty when they maybe knew they shouldn't feel empty, but they did anyway. And there was a man standing on the seashore waiting for them. Just as he stands on the seashore in life, waiting for you. Wherever you may be today, the Lord is standing on the shore, calling your name. Do you have any meat? Are you at peace? Have you found what you're looking for? And they said, no, we have not found. We have not caught anything all night long. And we can feel that way in life. Their eyes were opened. They recognized that it was Jesus. And the scripture tells us that Peter cast himself into the water to get to Jesus. Cast himself out. Wrapped his fisherman's coat around him. Clothes and all, into the water he went. No time to waste. Folks, that is what we need to do this morning. May the Lord help us to run to Jesus, to cast ourselves out into the water. We might get a little wet, but I wonder sometimes if that is what keeps us from reaching Jesus. We fail to cast ourselves out of the boat. If you get nothing else from the service this morning, get a hold of this and take it with you. Too often, as Christians, non-Christians, when we find ourselves in places of darkness, we sit in our boat and we see Jesus bidding us come. Maybe we feel conviction of spirit. Maybe we feel the love of the Lord drawing us. And we begin to think and we begin to try to work through all of the stones that we know that stands between us and Jesus. We begin to try to figure out how we're going to move this. We try to figure out how we're going to move that. And we try to figure out, well, if I start to make moves towards Jesus, what am I going to do when I face this? How is this going to work? Sometimes we think about those things as we're taking steps towards Jesus and we lose faith and we turn around and we go back home and sit back down in our place of darkness. Other times we never even leave the house. We stay in our boat. We see Jesus calling. We think about these things and we give up. Folks, this morning, may we run. May we cast ourselves into the water to find Jesus. Jesus died to pay a price that we are unable to pay. And yes, he went to the grave. But Jesus did not stay in the grave. He rose. And Jesus does not want us to stay in the grave. Jesus Christ did not die and he did not rise up for us then to remain in a place of darkness. And so he bids us an invitation. Come. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, Even though there were all these stones in place that you can't move on your own, yet shall he live. Ah, this morning, to every single person that's here, let's avail ourselves of casting ourselves into the waters and trust Jesus to roll away the stones. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Amen.